Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I live near Parnell Park now. Maybe I'll just support Dublin.
Yeah.
You know, through the prism of my children.
Poor old Will over there supports all the Midlands teams. He doesn't see borders.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Zeebo going on his own! He gets the try!
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try for Munster!
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78 and Munster podcast for Munster fans. Coming up on the show this week, a huge win in South Africa for the Reds. And can they make it two wins from two? We'll discuss all that and more with Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes, who join me now. Guys, how are you? Fiona, how are you?
Good. I'm not as good as Quinny out in South Africa. I'm stuck in Cork, but I will say there is a bit of sunshine here, so we can't be Irish and be giving out too much. So I'm doing well.
Quinny, how is South Africa? I never saw you as excited as when you were talking about the snake that you saw.
Yeah, I found a snake in the hotel last night, and I got the pleasure of going with the snake catcher on the release as well, so it was amazing. It's been brilliant. We were delayed getting out here, Rory. Obviously, with what happened in Dubai last week, on Tuesday night last week, We were due to fly Wednesday night. So there was obviously floods, massive backlog, carnage in Dubai airport. So we didn't get out till Friday night, which was tricky because there's a big rugby travel group at Rugby Travel Ireland that I was going with, and a lot of those people had to get different flights, and so it caused a bit of stress for a few days. We didn't get her till Saturday morning, but got to the hotel around 12 o'clock Saturday morning eventually, and had a bit of lunch and got ready, went to the match, and then got a great boost, to be honest, out of the game, the performance of the Munster team. It's a really tough place to go. No team has won there before in the URC, no Irish team, and it's a tough place there. I think they were up on a 20 game winning streak there. Very powerful side. They, you know, well documented about how they, with probably a couple of injuries, but certainly Jake White picked a weakened team for the European Cup game away to Northampton the week before. And this was the one they were kind of targeting, getting a big result against Munster and the Ospreys. They play the Ospreys this Saturday, and kind of Munster surprised most people, I think, with respect, because it's a really difficult place to go and they're a powerful side. I know we'll get into the nitty-gritty parts of the performance, but it was a marvellous win and it was great to be there. And, I think before this tour, and I don't know if Fiona will agree with me, I think most Munster fans, and it was a similar situation last year for the two games against the Stormers and the Sharks in the pool games, when Munster were kind of in a precarious position, they were knocked out of Europe by the Sharks. They needed to get points on the board to make the playoffs. They ended up getting in at seventh, if I'm right, and they ended up being away to Glasgow. But the two games in South Africa, they went on a run there of some brilliant results, beating the Stormers, drawing against the Sharks, which put them away in Glasgow. Then they won away in Glasgow, won away in Dublin, and then won away in the final. It was an incredible run. So there's a little bit of a feeling that with all the turmoil with the injuries, and there's a lot of what ifs, because I think if we, with the injuries, and we've spoken about it a lot, haven't we? And everybody, it's well documented. I think Munster would be looking forward possibly to a European Cup semi-final next week if they had not received all the injuries and the players missing they had. Now, I know John Klein and Dermot Barron are long-time absentees, Edwin Adogbo, but there's a little bit of what if, and I think there's a bit of a scenario last Saturday of having some options off the bench, having a little bit of power and physicality, and getting a really good team on the field with experience that produced a performance that was fantastic. So let's hope that this is a kick now that kind of gives them a chance to be right up there, because as it stands, if they get a positive result on Saturday, they're away home to Connacht, away to Edinburgh, home to Ulster. They're winnable games, the three of them. They're going to be difficult, but they could end up amazingly, second, third in the URC. Obviously, if you get into second, it's, you're talking about home quarter, home semi, if you get there. Paydays for Munster, big crowds in Thomond Park, all that kind of stuff, which is really important. So we don't want to get too far ahead. But look, the standalone performance on Saturday was outstanding, and it was great to be there because they produced a wonderful performance. And I just to finish on this point, if you, again, a similar situation last year, if you got one win out of the two, like you'd be saying, that's brilliant. But suddenly Munster get a bonus point win in South Africa in the first game. The challenge now is to replicate that level. And that's what I kind of said in my tweet. Can they replicate that level of performance? It's a challenging one for them. But I think they've got to do X, Y, and a lot of stuff right. But I think if you look back in Munster's last five league games, they've won their last five league games. There was 25 points available and they've taken 24. So that's why they're up in third. I think, you know, at the start of January, I think when they lost in Connacht, I think Munster were down at 9th, 10th, could have been down, correct me if I'm wrong. So they're in a really good position, but they've got to, you know, stick the chests out a little bit now, enjoy it, but not get complacent, because we saw what the Lions did to Leinster on Saturday.
They certainly did, but a lot of positivity floating around after this Munster performance, Fiona Hayes, and certainly a lot of the comments we've gotten in from very happy Munster fans, very happy with the performance.
Yeah, and thanks again for sending in those comments. We definitely read through them, but unfortunately we can't get them all in. So I'll just read out a couple. And anything you want to come in on, Quinny, come in on that. So we had Pat had a superb bonus point win at Loftus. Sending off helped more than we could have hoped for. A full Munster squad makes such a difference. It will be a big ask to do 2 weeks running in a row. Our boys like a big ask. Hopefully not too hot in Johannesburg. Same type of game plan. Kicking game so important. So, Quinny, you were talking about that weather. Do you want to give a quick rundown on that for the game?
Yeah, Pat is actually a friend of mine. He lives in Durban. Former Tipperary man, but he knows what it's like in South Africa. He's lived here for over 20 years. Big Munster fan, but he's, you know, Pat knows, again, the altitude is can be really challenging. I think I saw someone online put up, you know, there's a sign as you're coming out through the, under the stand, going out onto the pitch about the altitude. And somebody kind of made a comment underneath that tweet from the Bulls that it was attitude, not altitude, that won the game on Saturday. No, the sending off helps. Munster's attitude was spot on. They'll need the same on Saturday. The weather, it's going to drop down to around, you know, it's going to be around 20 degrees midday and up to about 4 o'clock. And then you're down around 17, 18 degrees when kickoff time, which is surprising because it's 30 degrees in Johannesburg today. So Munster getting a little bit of a break with the searing heat that could potentially be there. But thankfully, the temperature is going to drop a little bit.
Yeah, perfect. That sounds good. Not too hot. Eamon came in with, how does that rate with our greatest ever away wins up there with Toulouse in 2000? Should the law on tackling be rewritten so it reads any attempted tackle where the tackler hasn't bent their hips is an automatic yellow card, just to help our host who thought goosing on Casey was a rugby collision? What do you make of that?
Who was the host that thought it was a rugby collision?
Don't know. He's just saying that online a lot of South Africans were saying, Africans
no,
were
I'll
saying.
No, I'll tell you, to be honest, I feel, you know, these are ones that I feel that they're very unlucky. You know, Fiona, as a coach, it's hard to bend all the time. And, you know, he's not flying in with a shoulder. I always say the sending offs and the shoulder to head collisions, those ones, the tackler's got to take a bit off that, and that last bit of impact has to be reduced. These are accidental ones, but they're probably deemed in the accidental stroke reckless ones, because you are high, and if you charge in really quickly to wrap a guy, and I wouldn't have been a great technique tackler as regards low kind of perfect technique. I would have been a lot of wrapping up around the chest area and shoulders. And I love that kind of scenario of tagging the ball. So Johan Huson is coming through to try and, you know, obviously get a good shot on Craig Casey, but he loses a bit of control. And it's that little dummy, hesitant dummy that Craig Casey does. And it was just one of those ones. And I know we can be accused of being biased at times, but I think it's a red card. It's a red card straight away. Mm-hmm. When I saw the replays on the stadium monitor. So it changed the course of the game in a sense that I still think Munster would have, it was a difficult period that, you know, Caden Moody scores a try. So suddenly that's three tries after half time and the score is different and the crowd are going mad and the Bulls have got their mojo and Munster kind of hanging on a little bit. So it was a significant change in the game and Munster capitalized on that. So, you know, they got a little bit of luck as regards the Bulls being reduced, but I think it was a red card, to be fair. And it wasn't a cynical attempt by Johan Huson. So it was just one of those unfortunate ones that you've just got to take it on the chin and say, you know, I don't think you can give a yellow there. It's head on head and there is an onus on the tackler. Mm.
Yeah, that's fair. A couple more. So Peter Flynn said, Coombs, Hodnett, Ahern, the importance of the bench clearly seen in South Africa compared to what was available against Northampton. And Patrick Hogan came in with incredible performance, brilliant team selection, subs made at the right time to keep the team fresh. Shame Casey got injured. Crowley and Murray were definitely vying for man of the match.
Yeah, we've seen a trend of Munster probably struggling in the last 20 minutes of the game. So they've obviously looked at that. Gavin Coombs has played a lot of rugby this year, so he doesn't start. Certainly having that energy coming off the bench, you know, John Hodnett was outstanding when he came on. Really outstanding. His tackle technique, we're talking about it there a minute ago. He hits kind of mid-rift and just lifts players back. He's back on his feet, jackling again. Thomas Ahern had some big moments. Gavin Coombs, some really big carries when he needed him to run into physical contact. But I just don't think those three, because I think Josh Witcherly did really well. He was full of energy. He scrummaged well. Ollie Yeager wins that scrum penalty, which was, again, a big psychological boost. I know Jack, did he kick to the corner for that one? Maybe he kicked to the corner for that one, and that pressure resulted in Conor Murray's try. But some big moments on Clark as well, you know. And at the end of the game, Munster have a bit of energy. They're picking each other up. They sense a win. But I thought all the bench, you know, Conor Murray coming back on for Craig Casey, Joey Carberry looked well and assured as well. So I think that it's the key. And that's what Munster have been struggling, is options off the bench. It's not that all these changes were made that these are bench players. You now can rotate some players that you have numbers back, and you're not, you know, how long was it since, you know, there was a period of time where Munster didn't have second rows on the bench for big European games. So really significant impact off the bench, and they'll need the same again this week.
Fantastic stuff. Thanks for all your texts into the show. And if you want to get your texts or comments read on the show, you can give Quinny or Fiona a tweet. We'll go to details at the end of the show. But Fiona Hayes, the Irish Independent, called this a statement victory, and it certainly seemed like that. This was incredible for Munster, wasn't it?
It was absolutely huge, Rory. And I think even a lot of the chat in the last couple of weeks, we were even talking about how South Africa reinvented this team last week, or rejuvenated them, sorry, that they got a energy from that draw over there and that win. And it was almost like we were hoping the possibility that it could be the same. And it certainly was a huge win. But I think it's that. What ifs when you're looking at it, when you see that bench coming on, making a huge impact, when you see the players are fit, healthy, you know, and there's a lot of question about Munster, I suppose, after the Northampton game. Yes, they were sick, but people were saying, you know, you read in the news, Jackman talking about Munster not having the players, and some Munster fans saying, hold on a minute, where are the URC cup holders here? So I think in watching that game, in the performance, in how Hodnett, you spoke about him, Quinny, coming on and having two turnovers when he comes on the pitch. Just the turnovers in general just really impressed me. That's, I think Munster had 13 turnovers won, that one by Tadhg Byrne at the end of the game. Their decision making around that, Nankavilla had another huge moment of a turnover, hit by two forwards, still sustained his feet and is able to get the ball back. So that's almost like the performance we're waiting for. And it's a statement win because up until this game, a lot of people wouldn't have even dared to say that this Munster team, I suppose, could compete. Yes, we knew they'd get to the finals in this, but to compete with the likes of, I suppose, Leinster, and after that win and the style they done it and the fight and the grit, I think it really shows that this team has that character. We had seen it in patches and we spoke about the 80 minute performance, but I thought they were absolutely superb, and I agree with a lot of the tweeters as well. Perfect timing on subs to come in, and, you know, 100% success at scrum time. Yes, there was only threes, but by God, did we go after their scrum. They only had a 75%. Jaeger got the penalty. There was a couple of unders where we went at him. So to go against the South African pack like that as well and be able to have the changes to make to do that, I just thought it was absolutely brilliant to watch.
Yeah, Quinny, one of the tweeters, Eamon, asked, how does it rate with our greatest ever away wins? He reckons it's up there with Toulouse in 2000. Where does it rank for you?
I don't know. It's with respect to the team, it's the URC. And I think, obviously, when you go up to Champions Cup, it's a step above. And but as regards the quality of the opposition and the number of internationals on, you know, on the Bulls side, they have a lot there. They're missing a couple as well, so let's not get away from that. Norquia, the second row, is a superb player. He wasn't playing. Kutsia, the number eight, played 6-7. Marcel Kutsia wasn't playing. A couple of injuries, but anyway, not significant ones. They had a very strong team, and it's up there. It's up, you know. I'm not really sure. I didn't really think about that. I saw that. And I didn't go in, you know, obviously I could name some games that I played in, European games, that maybe some people might be surprised. There was one in Perpignan in 2009. There was one in Cass back probably in 2002. On a Saturday evening when the game wasn't even on telly at home, there was a handful of supporters when we had a magnificent win in the end of that game. So there's a load of them, you know, obviously the Toulouse one. That semi-final in Bordeaux is probably up near the very top. Munster a couple of years ago in Clermont had a wonderful win under Johan van Gran. It's too many to think about it, but it's definitely one that's there's nothing won here. You know, we're not going on to the next round of the cup either. It isn't a big quarter final, so we've got to keep it real here. But as regards the distance you travel, the team you're playing, their record in Loftus, it's a very, very big win, but it will count for nothing if Munster don't build on this. And I think they will. I think, look, there's no, you could go out against the Lions on Saturday and be on the receiving end of a big score. These South African teams are capable of this with their power and their strength. And if they click, they can hurt you a lot. So, and plus the toll of playing in the heat and the altitude. Mm-hmm. So it's important we don't get carried away. But I think after the week that was, a lot of positive news coming out of Leinster with Jordy Barrett, Tyler Blaine, they'll go under as coach. Incredibly, to be fair, 82,000 sellout for Northampton. And, you know, that's the reality of the other three provinces. You know, we're behind Leinster and they're an incredible side, incredible club. But Munster needed this after a week like that. They needed, people mentioned the word statement win. It was just, I would call it a big boosting win for Munster, the club itself. And the kick on from this is it's really important because, you know, the financial might that Leinster have, you know, Munster have got to get, you know, knockout rugby. And when you get knockout rugby, you have a corporate section to that. You have sellout Thomond Park. You make money and you can reinvest. And that's Leinster on that kind of churning, rolling kind of snowball effect for the last 10 years of getting lots of knockout rugby, home knockout rugby, and it's important. So, again, there's four games left. They're really tough games. They're challenging games. But if Munster maneuver the way through these last four games and pick up a good few points, I'm not saying exactly what they have. I'm not, again, because I haven't looked that far. And if they can get knockout rugby in June, who knows? You know, they might cause an upset or two. There's every chance they don't win a trophy this year because the reality is Leinster are hot favourites to win both competitions and they're going to be very difficult to stop. But this, you know, the word statement win, yes, I'd say massive boost to the club win.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we talk about our star of the week, we look ahead to the Lions game and more, become an Off the Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off the Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.